Which he hath purchased with his own blood, they are made overseers of it. Now morally, there are overseers today. Perhaps they were bishops officially appointed then, but it is a moral office that is gained now through affection for the Lord and behavior to Him, submission to His guidance to do what He tells you, because each of us have our service from the Lord, and pastors is a very large field. Sadly, the work isn't as largely taken up. The doors are so wide open in your own home to shepherd and care for your children, and in all your associations in the assembly, and in special work the Lord lays it on your heart to do, to feed the Church of God. We have recently been in Australia and New Zealand. There are 17 million people in Australia, and 10 times that many sheep, 170 million sheep in Australia. And they say it's 23-1 is the ratio from people to sheep in New Zealand. New Zealand is a very rich and productive country, and Australia has lots of desert, but that's a lot of sheep, and they know how to care for them there. And you watch them, they will take the lambs and put them in a special corral, and the 6-month-old sheep and the yearlings, and they might put the ewes in one group and the rams in another at times. And they might lead the whole flock out on the range to pasture together. Now, they have this same liberty as shepherds, as teachers. We don't have to have the assembly together and do everything in the assembly as such. No, we have not the assembly over us to tell us what to do either. We have the Lord. And let's be careful to recognize the gifts. We are exhorted to know them which labor among you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So if we have pastors in our assembly, let's support them. If we have evangelists, let's support them. If we have teachers, let's support them and not hinder them like the disciples did when they thought the Lord was too busy when the mothers brought their children to Him. And He rebuked those disciples and says, "Let the little ones come unto Me and forbid them not." So that He carried out that too with a special group to lay His hands on those children and bless them. Down in the chapter, we're told, the overseers are told, support the weak. Who is weak in your assembly, more weak than a baby? The mother cares for that baby. She feeds it. And they're not strong until they get to a year old or maybe 10 years old. And who is weak but a young person who hasn't learned all that the passions are developing in his body, her body, how to control them? These dear young people need special shepherding care. Thank God for those who are doing it in our assemblies. This is the instruction Paul gave to the overseers at Ephesus, and it's very timely that we get into that. Now, the Holy Ghost has made the overseers. The overseers in the assembly are those who morally take up that position. It's a very lovely position to take up, very responsible, and much privilege in it. So this is passed on down to us by Paul. Now let's look and see what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. Peter was the special apostle to the circumcision and Paul to the Gentiles, but their ministry did not conflict. In the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, it begins, "The elders which are among you I exhort." Now, an elder is perhaps a similar title to overseer or bishop. Peter doesn't take the office of an apostle here. He does say something about servant, I believe. He does in one of these in the next epistle he does, in 2nd epistle, and the first word, Simon Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ, but he says, "Here the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am also an elder, but a very special one, and the witness of the sufferings of Christ." Now Peter never forgot what he saw. In this epistle, in each chapter, he mentions the sufferings of Christ. Then in the next epistle, he talks about the glory. The sufferings of Christ and the glories which should follow is the order. We are to learn of the sufferings of Christ now and to share in them and the glories going to come. But he goes on here, "Also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He had been on the Holy Mount. He didn't tell about that in the first epistle. He tells about it in the second epistle, although he does say a partaker of the glory, so perhaps he does. Now what does he say to these elders? "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight." Now that's an overseer. So you see, the elders were overseers. To watch over, not by constraint, but willingly. Just like we're supposed to give too. And we're going to come to giving in our chapter. Not by constraint, but out of a heart that has love for young people, love for children, love for old people. Visit the old folks' homes. We want to get over a special class of people that need a special shepherding care too. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Don't do it for money. The shepherd is going to find out that the greatest part of his reward is in the next world. I'll tell you about the parable of the man who went down from Jericho and took position in Jericho and fell among thieves. That the priest and the Levite walked by, but the certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, a figure of Jesus, who had come from earth down here looking for this sheep. And he was called a Samaritan in John 8 by the Jews, who said we not, "Well, thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil." Jesus only said, "I have not a devil." He didn't say he wasn't a Samaritan. He didn't answer that. That leaves liberty to apply that Jesus was that certain Samaritan, although we don't need that. Well, he came, and he found this man who had fell among thieves, and he bound up his wounds. That's salvation care. He poured in the oil and wine. That's the joy of the Spirit. And laid him on his own horse, his own mount, and took him to the inn. When he put him on his own mount, is a typical of a sinner who's lifted up into the heavenly position that the Lord came from. Now that's what we've been talking about. You and I are not just saved out of the gutter, we're given the position the Lord occupied before he came down to get us. That's the figure. But he takes him to the inn, and he says to the host, "Now you take care of him." The inn is the assembly. Bring these ones to the inn. Bring them to the assembly when they're saved. Bring them in. And they're cared for there. And then as he was leaving, he said, he took out 2 pence and he paid him. Now that's the shepherd getting a little bit of his reward down here. But then he said another thing, "Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." The shepherds, the pastors, are going to have to wait for a large part of the reward until they get to the glory. Because it's an unseen work to a great extent, quietly going about. We know some of it, though. And let's support the work. And then it goes on here in this next verse, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples of the flock." Then we get the chief shepherd. That's Jesus again. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You see, here is where the shepherds get their great reward. Oh, it's going to be tremendous. So let's seek to know the pastors and support them as they labor amongst us.
Both places, both Paul and Peter exhort them to feed the flock of God. That's a precious thing, because it's the Word of God is what's needed. And it needed to be ministered as a shepherd would minister it, would feed them tenderly and carefully, as a shepherd would watch out for their own sheep. They know their sheep. These are under shepherds, really. The overseers are under shepherds. And it says in verse 28 of our chapter, over which, but it means among which, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church. You know, it's lovely that although these were appointed and by apostles or apostolic power, the Holy Ghost can do that now. He carries on that work. And as I go around, it's lovely to see, and I know all of you realize it, there are these under-shepherds or overseers or those with the Father's heart, which is so precious, who have naturally the care of the saints in their heart. Oh, how we must pray for them and cherish them too. They may not necessarily have a gift to the church. That's a little different. But they may be apt to teach. They may be teachers. They may have a gift too. But they're there. And I think it's precious when you see them, because that's what's so important, to have that concern. When the Lord restored Peter in John 21, feed my sheep, that's the important thing. Feed my lambs, that's the important thing. Shepherd my sheep, that's the important thing. Isn't that lovely? And that's what we have in here. Now, our brother in his address referred to the Song of Songs, and I want to just mention one thing there, because it brings this in so nice. Because when an evangelist's work is done and a soul is saved, they're a babe in Christ. And then it's really the work of the pastor, the teacher from then on, and the shepherd, the one that'll take that care and nurture them on into the truth. For the whole gospel is God would have all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 1, and our brother said you can apply this. I believe it can be applied three ways. Primarily, the earthly bride, and of course, the bridegroom in that sense. But next, the heavenly bride, it could be applied, but not every verse, and the bridegroom, the Lord, our Lord and Savior. But thirdly, it could be applied for individual believers. And I believe here in our first chapter, we have one as a babe. And notice in verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Why should I be as one that turneth aside? Or I believe it means as one roving, not knowing where to be fed. And you know, when one is saved, a babe in Christ, they naturally want more. First, it's the sincere milk, the pure mental milk of the Word of God, but then they grow and they want more. Now, that's where these overseers, under shepherds, come in. Notice in verse 8, if thou know not, you see, this is a babe. Didn't know anything, except they wanted to know more. That's the way it is, isn't it? When you're saved, you don't know much. You want to know more. I didn't know anything about the assemblies. She didn't know anything about the gardens. She didn't even know anything about the lilies, where they're a flock around himself. She didn't know anything like that. So he says, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Stay with those that belong to the Lord. Stay with those that love the shepherd's voice. Isn't that lovely? And feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Now there they are. Those are the ones, the overseers of the flock, now in the assemblies, of course, then in the gardens. And we could go on. As she grows, she later learns that there are many lilies where he delights to be. And then she learns not only are there lilies, there's a garden of lilies where he delights to be. Then she learns there's gardens of lilies, many of them, where he delights to be. Isn't that lovely? She grows. And our brother Tony brought out that beautiful growth in those three verses. But now in our verse, we have something that we have today just like that. And when one is saved, isn't it wonderful when we can bring them in and let them taste of a reading meeting and let those overseers, those dear under-shepherds, the ones that can really pastor them along and shepherd them along, take hold. Now, I'm not saying they're identified. I'm not saying they have a sign on them. I'm an elder, an overseer, we don't do that. And they'd be the least to say they are. But brethren, we know who they are, and let's pray for them. That's the point. The Spirit of God raises them up, and thank God for them in every assembly.
Are they fed? What is the food that is presented? In the children of Israel's case, as they left Egypt, they got hungry, and God rained on them bread from heaven, and it says that it was on the dew. It was on the dew. The manna was on the dew. It didn't lay on the ground. It lay on the dew. It's Christ, isn't it? Christ is the manna, and it says that it followed them, and also speaks of the water that followed them, and that's Christ. What are we being fed? Are we being fed Christ? Is that what we're feeding on? Is that what the saints of God are feeding on? Is that what's being ministered to each and every one of the children of God, Christ? If it isn't, that's the wrong food. Christ. And here it's to the church, feed the church, and in Peter it's feed the flock. A little closer association, I would take it. But it's the same food, Christ. Nothing but Christ is on we tread, nothing but Christ, the bread of God. How precious if we feed on Christ.
Possibly in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Now I like to think of those reapers possibly as the overseers. She sat beside them. But oh, it was Boaz that reached her the parched corn. It was Boaz that fed Ruth. And it's our blessed Lord and Savior that feeds us. And of himself, the parched corn, I believe, could speak to us of a risen